Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avram Goldhar and Tim Maseches Yuma Daf Mem Hey. The fourth parak Tarpa Kalpi. So the three dafs we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah and Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis introduced a machlokes regarding how many marachas were on the Mizbeach during the year, while all agree that one was added in Yom Kippur for the coals to be used for the ketores. The Gemara here brings up rice that identifies the purpose of each of the marachas. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there were two daily marachas, the maracha gedola to burn the karbanos on, and the second maracha for the daily ketores. Rabbi Yossi holds there was an additional maracha for kiyum ha'esh, maintaining a fire on the maracha gedola. Rashi explains that if the fire on the large maracha was not blazing sufficiently, they would replenish it with burning wood from this fire. Rabbi Meir holds that there was a fourth daily maracha for evarim u'pedarim shul nisaku mabe'erev, for the limbs and fats that were not consumed at night. Rashi explains that this refers to the limbs and fats were not placed on the maracha the previous day for lack of room, or those that were placed upon the maracha but did not have time to become entirely consumed. The Gemara proceeds to bring the source for each one. Point number two, the Gemara clarifies that Rabbi Yossi's source for the third maracha, which is for kiyum ha'esh, maintaining of the fire on the maracha gedola, is from the pasuk va'esh al mizbeach tukadbo, and the fire on the mizbeach shall be a flame on it. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who doesn't require a third maracha, he explains that the pasuk is coming to teach regarding hatzatzas alisa, the kindling of the splinters of wood used to start the maracha gedola every morning. This was done by kindling small twigs and splinters and inserting them between the larger boards. Rabbi Yossi derives the law of hatzatzas alisa from the same place that Rabbi Shimon derived it from. For it was taught in a brayso when the pasuk states, "V'nasnu b'nei Aaron ha'kohen esh al mizbech," and the sons of Aaron the Kohen shall place fire on the mizbech. It teaches regarding hatzatzas alisa that it may not be performed except by a valid Kohen and only while wearing the bigdei kohuna. Rabbi Shimon challenges, saying that it would not enter someone's mind that a zar may approach the mizbech, that such a limud would even be required. Rather, the pasuk is coming to teach that hatzatzas alisa shalotehei el barosho shem mizbech. The kindling of the splinters may not be performed except at the top of the mizbech, meaning that a kohen may not ignite the splinters on the floor and then bring them to the mizbech. And point number three, the Gemara brings a long brayso in which the question is raised whether the coals for the ketores of Yom Kippur are taken from the mizbech hachitzon, the outer altar, or the mizbech hazahav. The Torah states, "V'lakach malei hamach negacha le'esh me'aha mizbech mivnei Hashem," and he shall take a shovelful of fiery coals from upon the mizbech from before Hashem. The phrase "milifnei Hashem," from before Hashem, implies that only a part of the mizbech is before Hashem, but not all of it. Which mizbech is that? It's the mizbech hachitzon, the outer altar. Rashi explains that the mizbech hazahav is considered completely before Hashem. So once again, the 3 points are: number one, the Mishnah on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis introduced the machlokes regarding how many marachos were on the mizbech during the year. While all agree that one was added on Yom Kippur for the coals to be used for the ketores. The Gemara here brings up rice that identifies the purpose of each of the marachas. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there were two daily marachas, the maracha gedola to burn the karbanos on, and the second maracha for the daily ketores. Rabbi Yossi holds there was an additional maracha for kiyum ha'esh, maintaining a fire on the maracha gedola. Rashi explains that if the fire on the large maracha was not blazing sufficiently, they would replenish it with burning wood from this fire. Rabbi Meir holds that there was a fourth daily maracha for evarim u'pedarim shul nisaku mebe'erev, the limbs and fats that were not consumed at night. Rashi explains that this refers to the limbs and fats that were not placed on the maracha the previous day for lack of room, or those that were placed upon the maracha but did not have time to become entirely consumed. The Gemara proceeds to bring the source for each one. Point number two, the Gemara clarifies that Rabbi Yossi's source for the third maracha, which was for kiyum ha'esh, maintaining the fire on the maracha gedola, is from the pasuk va'esh al mizbech tukadbo, and the fire on the mizbech shall be a flame on it. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who doesn't require a third maracha, he explains the pasuk is coming to teach regarding hatzatzas alisa, the kindling of the splinters of wood used to start the maracha gedola every morning. This was done by kindling small twigs and splinters and inserting them between the larger boards. Rabbi Yossi derives the law of hatzatzas alisa from the same place that Rabbi Shimon derived it from, for it was taught in a brayso when the pasuk states, "V'nasnu b'nei Aaron ha'kohen esh al mizbech," and the sons of Aaron the Kohen shall place fire on the mizbech. It teaches regarding hatzatzas alisa that it may not be performed except by a valid Kohen and only while wearing the bigdei kohuna. Rabbi Shimon challenges, saying that it wouldn't enter someone's mind that a zar may approach the mizbeach, that such a limud would even be required. Rather, the pasuk's coming to teach that hatzatzas alisa shotehei el barosho shel mizbeach, the kindling of the splinters may not be performed except at the top of the mizbeach, meaning that a kohen may not ignite the splinters on the floor and then bring them to the mizbeach. And point number three, the Gemara brings a long brayso in which the question is raised whether the coals for the katoris of Yom Kippur are taken from the Mizbech HaChitzon, the outer altar, or the Mizbech HaZahav. The Torah states, V'alakach malei hamach d'gach le'esh me'al Mizbech melifnei Hashem, and he shall take a shovelful of fiery coals from upon the Mizbech from before Hashem. The phrase melifnei Hashem, from before Hashem, implies that only a part of the Mizbech is before Hashem, but not all of it. Which Mizbech is that? It's the Mizbech HaChitzon, it's the outer altar. Rashi explains that the Mizbech HaZahav is considered completely before Hashem. All right, so now we go to our Simmer Daf Mem Hey, and our standard Simmon is Monopoly, the game Monopoly. So here goes. The Mizbech Monopoly board with the different maracha in each corner had a pile of wood splinters piled high in the center, and a community chess card for taking coals for the Yom Kippur Katoris from the Mizbech HaChitzon. Once again, in slow motion. The Mizbech Monopoly board, Monopoly, that must be learned off Mem Hey, Ma, Monopoly. The Mizbech Monopoly board with a different maracha in each corner, which reminds us that the Mishnah on Daf Mem Gimel and Beis introduced malchus regarding how many marachas were on the Mizbech during the year. We'll all agree that one was added on Yom Kippur for the coals to be used for the Katoris. The Gemara here brings a brayso that identifies the purpose of each of the marachas. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there were two daily marachas, the maracha Gedola to burn the Karbonos on, and the second maracha for the daily Katoris. Rabbi Yosi holds there was an additional maracha for Kima Eish, maintaining a fire on the maracha Gedola. Rashi explains that the fire on the large maracha was not blazing sufficiently, they'd replenish it with burning wood from this fire. Ramero holds that there was a fourth daily maracha for Evarim Padarim Shil Nisakum Be'erib, the limbs and fats were not consumed at night. Rashi explains that this refers to the limbs and fats were not placed on the maracha the previous day for lack of room, or those that were placed on the maracha but didn't have time to become entirely consumed. The Gemara proceeds to bring the sources for each one. So the Mizbeach Monopoly board, with a different maracha in each corner, had a pile of wood splinters piled high in the center. Which reminds the Gemara clarifies that Rabbi Yossi's source for the third maracha, which was for Kiyama Eish, maintaining of the fire on the maracha Gedola, is from the pasuk that Eish al Mizbech tukad bo, and the fire on the Mizbech shall be a flame on it. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't require a third maracha. He explains the pasuk coming to teach regarding Hatzatzas Alisa, the kindling of the splinters of wood used to start the maracha Gedola every morning. This was done by kindling small twigs and splinters and inserting them between the larger boards. Rabbi Yossi derives the law of Hatzatzas Alisa from the same place that Rabbi Shimon derived it from, for it was taught in a brayso when the pasuk states, "V'nasnim b'nei Aaron ha-Kohen eish al-Mizbeach," and the sons of Aaron the Kohen shall place fire on the Mizbeach. Rabbi Shimon says the pasuk is coming to teach that Hatzatzas Alisa shlotei el berosha shel Mizbeach, the kindling of the splinters may not be performed except at the top of the Mizbeach, meaning that a Kohen may not ignite the splinters on the floor and then bring them to the Mizbeach. So the Mizbech Monopoly board with a different maracha in each corner had a pile of wood splinters piled high in the center and a community chess card for taking coals for the Yom Kippur Katoris from the Mizbech HaChitzon. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a long brayso in which the question is raised whether the coals of the Katoris of Yom Kippur are taken from the Mizbech HaChitzon, the outer altar, or the Mizbech HaZahav. The Torah states, and he shall take a shovelful of fiery coals from upon the Mizbech from before Hashem. The phrase Melifnei Hashem, from before Hashem, implies that only a part of the Mizbech is before Hashem, but not all of it. Which Mizbech is that? It's the Mizbech HaChitzon. Rashi explains that the Mizbech HaZahav is considered completely before Hashem. So once again, the Mizbech Monopoly board with a different maracha in each corner had a pile of wood splinters piled high in the center, and a community chess card for taking coals for the Yom Kippur Katoris from the Mizbech HaChitzon. All right, now it's time for a four-block back Chazara. Daf Mem Alef. So the Simmer Daf Mem Alef is a grandma. So here goes. The grandma. That must be more in Daf Mem Alef. The grandma who designated her two precious little birds when she bought them. Which reminds Rav Chisda said that king do not assume their respective designations of either Achatos and Ola except at the time the owner's taking them to be offerings or at the time the Kohen's actual making of the offerings. Rashi explains that if the owner specifies at the time of taking them, then the designations become irrevocably fixed. Should a Kohen then reverse and the offerings become puzzle? If he didn't designate them at that time, then even if he attempts to do so later, they remain legally undesignated, and the Kohen may offer either one as the Chatas and the other one as the Ola. Rav Shimon Rashi said that Rav Chisda's reasoning is based on the pasuk regarding kinim, v'lakcha v'asa, and he shall take, and the Kohen shall make. So we derive from here that kinim become designated, obelakicha obeasiya, either the owner's taking or at the Kohen is making of the offerings. The Gemara attempts twice to challenge Rav Chisda's rule to prove that the kinim can be designated in between the taking and the actual offering, but is unsuccessful. So the grandma, who designated her two precious little birds when she bought them, didn't see her wealthy tummy grandson snatch them. Which reminds us, Rabbi Elazar said in the name of Hoshea that a wealthy person who made the temple tamei and then brought the offering of a poor person, meaning kinim, he has not fulfilled his chiyuv. Rabbi Chaga says in the name of Hoshea that he has fulfilled his chiyuv. The Gemara challenges Rabbi Chaga's position based on the Mishnah Gan that states that if a poor Metzora brought the offering of a wealthy person, he has fulfilled his chiyuv, whereas if a wealthy Metzora brought the offering of a poor person, he has not fulfilled his chiyuv. The Gemara answers that the case of a Metzora is different, for it's written in that section, Zos. This shall be the law of the Metzora. The restrictive word Zos teaches that the Metzora may bring only those offerings specifically prescribed for him. When the Gemara challenges his answer based on the first case, where the poor Metzora does fulfill his chiyuv when he brings the wealthy person's offering, it answers that the inclusive expression Toras, the law of the Metzora, teaches that there is one law for the poor and wealthy Metzora. Both may fulfill their chiyuv with the wealthy person's offering. So the grandma, who designated her two precious little birds when she bought them, didn't see her wealthy tummy grandson snatch them, because she was busy trying to knit one strip of red wool with the minimum shear. Which reminds us, Rav Yitzchak said that he heard from his teachers a distinction that between the two strips of red wool, one for the Paraduma and one for the Sira HaMishtalech, that only one requires a minimum shear, but he couldn't remember which one. Rav Yosef said it seemed more reasonable that the Sira HaMishtalech requires the minimum shear, the boy Chalukah, since it requires division into two parts, as Rashi explains, half tied to the goat's head and half tied to the rock. When Rami Bar Chama objected, saying the Paraduma also requires a minimum shear because it must have weight, as Rashi explains, it must be heavy enough to plummet into the flame, Rami answered, saying that it's a Malchus Tanaim whether it requires weight, and Rabbi Yosef follows the view that it does not. Daf Mem Beis. So the Simmer Daf Mem Beis is a mobster. So here goes. The non-Cohen mobster. Mobster, that must be one Daf Mem Beis. The non-Cohen mobster who was thrilled that he was able to shecht the Paraduma, which reminds us, the Rav Yitzchak said that he heard from his teachers the distinction between two shechitas, that of the Paraduma and that of the part of the Kohen Gadol of Yom Kippur, where one of them is kosher done by Ezra and the other is not, but he didn't know which one was valid. After the Gemara clarifies that Rav holds that the Paraduma is pasul if it's shechted by Ezra, and Shmuel holds that it's the Kohen Gadol's part that becomes pasul, the Gemara challenges each opinion since they use similar words in the psukim to support their rulings. The Gemara challenges Shmuel as to why he holds the Paraduma is kosher if the shechita is done by Ezra, and answers that in the case of the Paraduma, the pasuk states, v'shachut osal lefanav, and he shall slaughter it in front of him, referring to Elazar. So this implies Zar shochet v'lazer roa, that a zar shechts the Paraduma while Lazar watches. According to Rabu, who holds that Elazar was the one who shechted the Paraduma, the pasuk means shol yisir daito mimena, that Elazar, who's the one shechting the Paraduma, shall not divert his attention from it. Rashi explains that he must constantly guard it from two and other disqualifications. Shmuel learns this then from a different part of the pasuk. So the non-Cohen mobster, who was thrilled that he was able to shecht the Paraduma, became enraged when he was told the par is now pasul because he's no more qualified than a woman. Which reminds the Gemara brings a support for Rav that a Paraduma shechted by Zar is pasul from a brisa which teaches that just as a woman may not do the sprinkling of the Paraduma, she can't do the shechita as well as the other avodas of the Paraduma. So this implies that just as a woman cannot do the shechita, similarly a Zar may not do the shechita. The Gemara challenges this, given that a woman may not do the hazah, but a Zar can. So perhaps a woman cannot do the shechita, but a Zar can. Abai answered that the reason the Braisa disqualifies a woman from the Shechita of the Paraduma is from the fact that Pasuk identified Elazar for the Shechita and not a woman. Similarly, with regard to Azar, we may say Elazar is specified and not Azar. So the non-Cohen mobster, who was thrilled he was able to shecht the Paraduma, became enraged when he was told the Par is now puzzle because he's no more qualified than a woman and that even his donkey can't walk out with the Paraduma. Which reminds us, Ula did an extensive examination of the Pesukim from the Parsha Paraduma. As part of his analysis, he says, the Pasuk states, V'hotzi osa, he shall take it out to the outside of the camp, which teaches Shul Yotzi Acheres Ima, that he shall not take another cow with it. As it was learned in the Mishnah Par, if the Paraduma did not want to go out, we don't take a black one with it, so people should not say they shechted the black one for the Avodah. And they don't take out even a red one with it, so the people shouldn't say they shechted the two of them. Rashi explains that the shechita of the second one, together with the first one, would constitute an accompanying different activity, which would invalidate the par shechita. Revi says this is not the reason, but rather because the pasuk says, Osa levada, he shall take it out, which implies it alone. The Tanakamu didn't learn this Rashi as Revi Shimon. It was Darsh time of the cry. He expounds the rationale of the pasuk. The nafkamina between them is taking out a donkey with the cow. According to the Tanakamu, it's permitted since the rationale doesn't apply, whereas according to Rebbe, it's forbidden since the Paraduma is not being taken out alone. Daf Mem Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Mem Gimel is a magazine. So here goes. The woman placing the ashes of the Paraduma outside the camp found a How to Be Machaper magazine. Magazine? That must be more in Daf Mem Gimel. The woman placing the ashes of the Paraduma outside the camp, which reminds us that Ula continues expounding the psukim about the Paraduma. The pasuk states, Va'asav ish tahor es efar parvinich, and a man who is tahor shall gather the ash of the cow, and he shall place it outside the camp in a tahor place. Ish lahakshir sazar. The specification of man comes to qualify as zar for this procedure. Tahor lahakshir is the isha. The specification of tar comes to qualify a woman for it. Rashi explains that there's no need to teach that a tame may not gather the ashes. V'heniach mishesh bodas v'heniach yatsu chershot v'katan she'ein behen das v'heniach. So the woman placing the ashes of the parduma outside the camp found a How to Be a Mechaper magazine with a picture of a Kohen Gadol after his first vidui on his par, which reminds the Mishnah state the Kohen Gadol then comes to the bowl a second time and confesses. The Gemara asks, why is it different that in the case of the first vidui that he doesn't say Ubnei Aaron Am Kodeshecha, and in the second vidui he says it? The Gemara brings up Raisa that was taught in the Yeshiva of Yishmael to answer the question. Midas Adinno Senes, logic dictates, Mutav Yavo Zakav Yechaper Al-Chai, better that an innocent one should come to gain kapara for the guilty one, rather than a guilty one should come to gain kapara for the guilty one. So the woman placing the ashes of the parduma outside the camp found a How to Be Mechaper magazine with a picture of a Kohen Gadol after his first vidui on his par, comfortably walking down the center of the Mizbeach ramp. Which reminds the next Mishnah says, every day Kohanim ascend the Mizbeach on the eastern side of the ramp and descend on his western side. Rashi explains that the halacha requires the one who ascends the Mizbeach to turn towards the right at the top. If the Kohen would climb up the left side of the ramp, he would need to cross the ramp at the top, and that would be unseemly to needlessly cross the ramp. The Mishnah continues, V'hayom Kohen Gadol ol be'emsa v'yor be'emsa. But today, the Kohen Gadol ascends the center of the ramp and descends in the center. Rashi explains that each time the Kohen Gadol ascends the Mizbeach, he ascends and descends in the center of the ramp. He thus traverses the entire width of the ramp on each ascent, whether he needs to or not. This display of familiarity demonstrates to Kodesh Baruch Hu's great love for the Jewish people. The reason the Kohen Gadol is permitted to cross the ramp for no purpose is because he's the Jewish people's shaliach. His act is symbolic of the unique relationship between the Kodesh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people. Rav Yehuda says the Kohen Gadol always ascends and descends in the center. Daf Mem Dalet. So the Simmer Daf Mem Dalet is mud. So here goes. Holy mud, mud. That must be more in Daf Mem Dalet. Holy mud was placed outside the Heichal, preventing anyone from entering while the Kohen Gadol brought Ketores, which reminds the Gemara brought a Braisa that introduced a prohibition against someone occupying the Heichal while the Ketores is being burned, based on the pasuk Cho Adam Uhiyeh Be'ohol Moed, no person shall be in the Ohol Moed, referring to when the Kohen Gadol enters the Kodesh Kodashim. The Gemara brings a mission from Kehillim that states that we must separate from the air between the Ulam and the Mizbeach during the time of the burning of the Ketores. Now this refers to the twice daily burning of the Ketores in the Heichal. Rabbi Lazar said the Rabban only taught this law in regard to the burning of the Ketores in the Heichal. The Rabban feared that one standing there might unthinkingly enter the Heichal during that time, which is forbidden in the Raisa. But regarding the time of burning the Ketores in the Kodesh Kodashim, we must separate from the Heichal, but there's no need to separate from the air between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. Rashi explains that the Kodesh Kodashim is relatively distant from the space between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. The Rabban were not fearful that one's awareness of burning the Ketores in the Kodesh Kodashim will move someone to enter the Heichal. So, holy mud was placed outside the Heichal, preventing anyone from entering while the Kohen Gadol brought Ketores. That is Mechaperes for Lashon Hara, which reminds us. The Gemara asks if burning the Ketores actually atones, and answers that it does. Rabbi Chananya taught a Braisa, which state that we've learned the Ketores is Mechaperes, as it says in the puzzle regarding the aftermath of Korach's rebellion. V'yitenes Ketores v'yichaper al'am, and he, Aaron, placed the Ketores and atoned for the people. And a Braisa was taught in Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, Amal Ketores Mechaperes, what does the Ketores atone? Al Lashon Hara, for the sin of Lashon Hara. This refers to the people accusing Moshe and Aaron for being responsible for the death of Korach and his followers. Yavo davar shebechashai v'yichaper al'maisa chashai. Let something that is offered in private, the Ketores, atone for an act committed in private, referring to the Lashon Hara. Rashi explains that Lashon Hara is generally spoken in private, even though in this specific instance, it was said publicly. So, holy mud was placed outside the Heichal, preventing anyone from entering while the Kohen Gadol brought Ketores, that is Mechaperes for Lashon Hara, in on the golden shovel he used to scoop the coals. Which reminds the Mishnah Daf Mem Gimel Amud Bei stated that every day the Kohen would scoop up the coals with a silver shovel and then pour the coals into a gold shovel. The Gemara explains the reason for the two shovels is that Torah chasa mamon shi Yisrael. The Torah was concerned with the Jewish people's money. Rashi explains that we too must be concerned for it, and therefore we do not use a gold shovel for scooping up the coals, lest it become ruined. The Mishnah continues, Vayom chos b'shal zahav uvahya machnis. But today on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol scoops them up with a gold shovel, and with it he brings them in. The Gemara says, the reason is mishum chosha the Kohen Gadol. It's because of the weakness of the Kohen Gadol. Rashi explains that we fear that the extra effort of pouring from one shovel to the next will exhaust him. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from previous Masechtas. Number 1, which daf do we have in Malkus? We're going to have how many Merachas there were on the Mizbeach each day of the year? That's on daf Mem Hei. Good. Number 2, which of the year when the Kohen Gadol ascends and descends the middle of the ramp on Yom Kippur? And Rav Yehuda says he does this the rest of the year as well. That's on daf Mem Gimel. Good. Number 3. Which of the going there is a prohibition for one to enter the Heichol when the Kohen Gadol is bringing the Ketores into the Kodesh Kedoshim? That's on Daf. Mem Dalet. Good. Number 4. Which of the going the calls for the Yom Kippur Ketores is taken from the Mizbech Hechitzon, which the Pasuk describes as Milifnei Hashem? That's on Daf. Mem Hey. Good. Number 5. Which of the going the Kohen Gadol scoops the coals with a gold machta and brings it into the Kodesh Kedoshim, so you shouldn't get exhaust from pouring from a silver machta into a gold machta? That's on Daf. Mem Dalet. Good. Number 6. Which Daf Yimalkos Rav Shmuel if a Zohar cannot shecht a par duma or the par of the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippurim? That's on Daf. Mem Beis. Good. Number 7. Which Daf do we discuss whether a wealthy person can bring a poor person's offering? That's on Daf. Mem Av. Good. Number 8. Which Daf do we know that the scent of the Ketores reached all the way from Yerushalayim to Yericho? That's on Daf. Lama Tes. Good. Number 9. Which of the one, if the paraduma does not want to go out, one is not permitted to take a second cow with it, and it's a malchokas if a donkey may accompany it. That's on Daf. Membeis. Good. And number 10. Which Daf do malchokas Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Yochanan, where the drawing the lots is ma'akev? That's on Daf. Mem. Excellent. Now we go to the 3 bonus questions. Number 1. Which of the one that the Tanakhama holds that two people who bring a sella must pay one kalban to cover the exchange rate? That's on Daf. Dalet and Shkalim. Good. Number 2. Which of the one about tying a knot on a son's arm who was yearning for his father? That's on Daf. Samach Vav and Shabbos. Good. Number 3. Which of the one the Rabban considered including Parshas Balak in Kriyat Shema? That's on Daf. Yud Beis and Brachas. Excellent. That concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.